Well, the message this morning is a message about wisdom. And Webster's Dictionary says that wisdom is a state of being wise. Wise is defined as the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true and what is right. So the biblical character for well known for wisdom is who? Anybody know?
Solomon,
right. And Solomon was a great judge and a king. And probably the best known story about Solomon is the one involving two women who both claim the same infant as theirs. Now, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary by Charles Fillmore defines Solomon as a state of mind that is established in consciousness when the soul, which is your thinking, is unified with wisdom and love. And this makes us whole and complete and peaceful. In 1 Kings, the third chapter, and really, if you read the whole third chapter of 1 Kings, it really is inspiring and uplifting, and there's wonderful, wonderful lessons contained within. But this morning, we're going to stick with talking about wisdom. So in 1 Kings, the third chapter and the 23rd verse, the women have both claimed the child to be theirs. And so they come before Solomon, and it says, "Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living." They were both claiming the same child. One of the women's child had died, and the other had lived. And the one with the dead child switched the babies at birth. And so the king said, "Bring me the sword." And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned for her son. And she said, "O Lord, give her the living child. In no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it neither be mine or hers. Divide it." And then the king answered and said, "Give the living child, and in no ways slay it. Give it to her. She is the true mother." And all Israel heard the judgment when the king had judged, and they feared the king. Well, fear is just another term in here for an awe. And they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do the judgment. So what do we have here? They perceived that, we really want to focus on those last few words. They perceived that the wisdom of God was in him. So how do we attain this wisdom? Well, there are also some answers if you have a chance to go to your Bibles. 1 Kings, 3rd chapter, verse 9. Solomon asked for wisdom. And we ask, too, when we go in prayer and ask to be shown the ways of the Holy Spirit within us, the guidance within us, and then when we surrender to it, what was God's answer to Solomon? Well, that's also in there. It's in the 14th verse of that same chapter. And this is something we all can do. God said, "If thou wilt walk in my ways." So we all can surrender to the wisdom of God. We all can surrender to that which is within us. What did we say this morning? It's omnipotent. It's all the power there is in the universe, all the presence, omniscient, all the wisdom in the universe. So, wouldn't it be interesting to hear how it might have been for Solomon to have that conversation with God, to be known for his wisdom? Take it away.
Good morning and welcome from station WUCOL-FM here in St. Charles, Missouri. This morning we are honored to have a special guest joining us, the renowned King Solomon. King Solomon, welcome. You are so very well known for your amazing wisdom. Some of our listeners may not be familiar with your story, so would you give us a quick rundown on how you got to be so wise?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Basically, it's like this. After I was made king by my father, King David, I was visited by God. God asked me what I wanted, and after thinking about it, I asked for understanding and a discerning mind. God apparently was pleased with my answer and not only granted me my request, but I was also given wonderful abundance. That's about it. God gave it to me.
Well, that's wonderful. I think you may be somewhat modest, though. Is it true that you come from great stock? Your parents are David and Bathsheba. Your father was known for your unifying your nation. Besides that, he was well loved by his people, by God, and he was respected by the leaders of other nations. Was there any pressure following in your father's footsteps?
He left really big shoes to fill, all right. Dad had been coaching me for a long time, though. I learned a lot from him. I also learned to go to God for everything. I think that's probably the secret to both Dad's success and my gifts. You know, always turning to God.
You attribute all your wisdom to God?
Absolutely.
So you ruled your kingdom with wisdom and understanding. It is written in the Bible that your wisdom, discernment, and breadth of understanding were as vast as the sand on the seashore. What was it like having all the wise answers?
To be honest, it was kind of like having a cheat sheet for a test. When I was asked a question, the answer would always come to me, and it did. It was easy.
It certainly doesn't look so easy from out here. I've read your answer to the two women who both claimed the infant. I guess that answer just came too, huh?
Yeah, I remember getting a picture of a sword posed to split a child, and I knew a true mother would never let this happen. It's kind of like letting the information come into your awareness. That's the best I can explain it.
I think you're amazing. Let me ask you about building the temple. What made you decide to do that?
Dad wanted to do it, but God told him no. Wait, and his son would do it. I just followed through, and what a joy it was. It was 60 cubits long and 20 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. The vestibule was front of the nave of the house, was 20 cubits wide across the width of the house. It was 10 cubits deep in front of the house, for the house was made of windows and recessed frames. I also...
Yes, thanks for the description. I can only imagine how beautiful it was. And I understand that you also built a magnificent house.
Oh, it was so magnificent. There was a hall of pillars, the hall of throne, and the hall of justice. It took 13 years to build it, and it was wonderful. When I was all finished, both the temple and the house, we had a huge celebration. We brought the Ark of Covenant from Zion and the City of David to the temple and invited everyone. We had a house blessing and a big party. What a time we had. You should have been there.
That was a couple years before my time, but it sounds like it was a It was wonderful. So you built a new home for God and one for yourself. What do you think God thought?
Oh, he told me. He said that my prayers were heard and that he consecrated the house and that he put his name there forever. He told me that if I acted with integrity of heart and uprightness as my father did, and if I did all he commanded and kept his statutes and ordinances, that he would establish my royal throne over Israel forever. Then he also said, if you turn aside from following me, you and your children, you do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set for you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut Israel off from the land that I had given them, and the house that I had consecrated from my name I will cast out of sight. He was very clear.
I see. Well, the amazing descriptions of the temple and house seem to me to indicate that you did the very best you could for God, that you built these magnificent structures to glorify God.
That's exactly it. Nothing is too good for the temple of the Lord.
Okay, let's move to the subject of marriage. I understand that you married the Phephora's daughter, but I did read that you also had 700 princesses as wives and 300 concubines.
That is correct.
What on earth would you do with 700 wives and 300 concubines?
I don't know if you really want me to answer that question.
Well, what I meant was... Oh, never mind. Anyway, could you even remember all their names? And how could you keep track of everyone following God's orders?
Well, there's that. As a matter of fact, there was a little problem with following orders. I love the woman, and if they wanted statues of their gods, I did it. Boy, if I ever have to do it again, I really blew it. My wives were happy, and therefore I was too. But you know what I mean? But if it ruined my people, I allowed the love of these women to turn me away from what is right.
Well, who knew? I guess God knew about the worship of other gods at your place?
Yes, and he was very, very angry. He did not allow me to keep the kingdom for my lifetime, but he said it would be taken away from my son. And it was. Things went south from there.
What a sad tale. But we've learned a lot from you and your story. We here at WCOL do something we call metaphysics. Have you heard of that before?
No, I haven't. What is it?
We use the Bible as the story of humankind's evolution as spiritual beings. So every character, every place, every situation represents an aspect of each of our own personal spiritual journeys. For example, we represent wisdom for obvious reasons.
You're saying everyone has a wisdom aspect?
Yes. We are each at different places in our awakening of that aspect. But it's there in everyone.
Very interesting.
We learned that we are tempted by outer materials or people like your wives, and that we lose the kingdom or the state of consciousness of connection with God when we do.
That makes sense. I'm happy my experience might be some help to others.
King Solomon, we thank you so very much for joining us here this morning. You've given us an inside view of what it's like to have our inner wisdom fully expressed. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
So, that was wonderful, girls. As our radio announcers told Solomon, we recognize that each of us have a wisdom aspect within us. We can choose to enhance it, or we can choose to expand it. Like Solomon, we can connect with God in an inner way. You know, all this came about Solomon in a dream. He had dreamed. And don't we get visions too? We can turn within, meditate and pray, and turn away from the outer physical stuff and be open and receptive. And as the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. God and I are one and we're at peace. So we can use that connection to access the wisdom within us. When we align ourselves with our higher selves, with our inner selves, with that Christ within, the answers just come to us. Have you ever had anything and that you just took in prayer, and when you came out and went about your day, the answers came to you? It unfolded for you? That's the wisdom of God working in and through you. Now, none of us have multiple spouses. At least I'm assuming so. The wives that Solomon adorned, he adored to a downfall because they had and they built up outer things, gods to serve. What are these things that we build up? Money, thinking we have to have more things, more stuff. None of those things are bad or wrong on their own. But what is it about them? It's the attachment, the worship of them. And that leads to disappointment and frustration. Yes, we can learn from Solomon. We are wise, at least in potential. When we use that full potential, our wisdom shines through. And we become wiser and wiser as we align with what? The divine, the God within. When we choose to joyfully express wisdom, so it is. So we can glean a lot from this. As I said, I would recommend going to 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, reading that whole chapter, because then it will resonate in you, and it will shine through for you, and it will lead you to trust the wisdom that is within you. So let's get in touch with that right now. Let's prepare our minds and our hearts for meditation. Let's open ourselves to that wisdom that is within. As we enter into this meditation, I invite you to just take a deep breath, and if you like, close your eyes or focus on something in the room, but turn your attention within you. This is your strength. This is your wisdom. And as you breathe in and breathe out, just know that everything you need to navigate this experience called human life is within you. All the wisdom you need, all the guidance you need, all the answers are within. But we have a task to do. We have something we need to do. We need to step forward and open our hearts and our minds to all that there is within us. If we never take that step, if we never take that chance, if we never move out into our inner being, We miss that connection. We miss that experience. We miss traveling down that path and being bathed in the love and the light of God. So take a deep breath and release it. And give yourself permission right here, right now, to make that inward journey. Travel down that path. Surrender to all that is within you. And step into your inner chamber. And as the psalmist said, be still and know that you are a spiritual being, full and free, and in you is all that you will ever need. So take a moment and just feel the energy of God moving in and throughout your very being, right here, right now, in this moment. And in this moment, we say, take time to give thanks to the Spirit within for all that it will lead and guide you through this day. We are so grateful to know that we live and move and have our being in the essence of God. And we are God's expressions here on this earth plane. So we surrender this day. And we say thank you, God, as we prepare our minds and our hearts to return to the presence of this room. And as we open our eyes and just look around you into the various faces and know that love is here, wisdom is here, and God is forever moving in and throughout. And we are grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen and amen. Let us close by affirming the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.